The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
And I remember when our first order came, we didn't even have packaging materials. Like, the order came and we were like, oh my God, what are we going to send this in?
Oh no.
It's going to make me cringe. But we sent it in a microwave box because we just bought a microwave.
To your customer.
No way. Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki, the real life shit you only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer.
So today we are here for a good time and a very organized time and not a long time. So if you're easily offended, then scram.
Scram.
Scramble.
That's like the most fancy scram I've ever heard in my life.
Babe, I'm feeling a little bit fancy today.
I love it.
So guys, today we have Michelle Hu on, and you might be thinking, who is Michelle Hu?
Heavens, if we weren't dying to do that.
Actually. So Michelle is the founder of Etoile, which is a beauty storage accessory compartment,
yeah,
just all around organizer.
Essentially, think of like anything that will help you organize your beauty room.
100%.
That's the best way to say it. So
it's actually really cool. It's kind sick. Of so crazy that we live in a world now where people's whole entire businesses can be about organizing your makeup.
Literally.
Lol. Crazy.
But like, how many girls absolutely need that? Like, we just recently got one of the makeup cases. I think it's like the medium size. And honestly.
Yeah, it's like the medium size one that's got the zip front, the clear
yeah,
zip front.
And then you can actually see through them as well. So like, you can like look into your little makeup case while it's still done up. And you know what's in there? I love it.
I'm not going to lie. I put all my makeup into it about 2 weeks ago and it has been amazing. And this yeah. is like 100% genuine. But Etoile started 3 years ago, and when they first launched, the business was kind of chugging along. They were doing about 20K a month, and they were operating out of, you know, like the family home, the grandparents' house as like a makeshift warehouse, you know, and the mum, well, Michelle's mum, I should say, was the only kind of...
like worker, yeah. Yeah. Anyone yep. helping in the warehouse. So then fast forward, they've been operating for 5 years now. It's a $5 million a year business. They've
wow.
got two warehouses across Melbourne and Sydney, and they've got a team of five.
Which,
I would think there'd even be more. Like, it's honestly amazing.
Well, we actually go into it a little bit more in the episode, but I think what you'll find, they've got an in-house team of five, but a lot of their business operates out of 3PL, which is third party logistics. So while they only have five people that directly work for them, there's like, you know, shitloads of
yeah.
people that are like kind of working on the business every day. But it's really interesting, the chat, because we talk about how their sales during lockdown increased to like three times the regular traffic and whatnot, because everyone was at home, everyone was organizing their shit. It just kind of became like a whole new, like
100%. Like, if you weren't renovating, you're organizing.
100%. So they've actually moved since COVID, they've actually moved into a bigger warehouse, and yeah, they just, it's a really interesting listen, because I think it's, while it is a really devastating time for a lot of people in business during COVID, it is really interesting that there are some businesses
that just boomed.
Boomed.
Yeah.
yeah. And Michelle's one of those, and yeah, she's a, it's a really great little listen, and she's only 25.
She's so young.
She's so young and doing so well.
And the way she came up with the concept, it was just like, need, make.
What do they call that? Supply and demand? Like a.
But like from her own personal self, she was like, oh, I'd love this. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
Like, so cool.
So, so interesting. And yeah, we talked to her about how they've kind of, you know, incorporated influencers into their business strategy and stuff too, and how that's helped, which is always a really fascinating kind of thing to discuss. I think how that
modern
kind of
day marketing,
yeah,
they say.
Modern day marketing. But without further ado, let's just bring her on in.
Okay, so welcome, Michelle.
Welcome.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me on. I'm so, so excited for the chat.
Oh, you're just an absolute pleasure.
We were just chatting off air. Michelle's just told us that she's coming to our live show and she bought tickets, even though we probably would have given you one. So thank you for that.
Thanks for the support.
I'm so excited. Hopefully it goes ahead.
Oh my
gosh.
Fingers
crossed, like honestly.
Yeah. How's lockdown been for you specifically with your business and whatnot?
From a business perspective, it was really good. I think we were just fortunate to be in like the right industry of like home organizing, like furniture, like people ticking off stuff that they've had on their to-do list for ages. So fortunately, like from a business perspective, it was really, really good. Personally, not fantastic, but you know.
Are you single?
No, I have a partner.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad then.
Lockdown with a bit of loving.
Mm. At least you're getting a root doll.
Well,
All right, Michelle. So we ask every single one of our guests, what is your wildest story? We must know.
Okay. I think this is my wildest story. I'm going to be disappointed if something wilder happens in like the next few months.
Have to do a redo.
It's not business related, so I'm going off theme. So 5 years ago when I started as a graduate in finance, all the investment banks will send like all of their graduates globally to the headquarters. So I got sent to New York for 4 weeks, which was epic in itself.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and all the cohorts before us said that the number one must-do thing is to get a house down in the Hamptons for the 4th of July weekend. Oh. So that's what we did with just like a small group of Australians. Didn't really like, we didn't know anyone there. So we were like, oh, like would love to find, you know, some cool house parties, but is what it is if we're just together. The public holiday fell on a Tuesday. HR put a test on the Monday and we were like, spanner in the works. We can't send it the night before, but whatever. We'll try and get out of it. But then we found out that people were getting fired from like previous years for not attending that day. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so in the first kind of few weeks of training, we became really close with the Texans. So they came with us to the Hamptons and literally from like friend of a friend of a friend heard that there was this one house party on at the Hamptons every single year. And we were like, oh, as if this is going to be legit. But, you know, we gave it a shot, rocked up at this house expecting there to be like bouncers and we'd have to bribe our way in. So we walked down this driveway and we turned the corner and we all just share this moment of like, what have we walked into? And it's like 300 to 400 people packed inside of this beautiful home. There's like women walking around with like the American flag painted over their boobs. There's like a bald eagle flamingo blow up thing in the pool. There's like an open bar, so much free alcohol. The Yin Yang Twins are playing. We didn't even know who the Yin Yang Twins were until.
Oh my goodness. I love the Yin Yang Twins. I don't.
Yeah, until they started playing To the Window, To the Wall. And we were like, oh shit, we know these people. So we have such a wild time. At the end of the party, we're leaving. We're all like on a great level. And then we walk outside and our friend is like on another planet. So we call the ambulance for her and she gets taken to the East Hampton Hospital.
That's definitely on another planet.
I know. And then we all have like a light bulb moment and we're like, oh my God, this is the perfect reason to email HR and get out of the test tomorrow. So we're like channeling some very sober thoughts, putting together this email, basically being like, we want to stay with our friend, make sure she's okay, yada, yada. And we're like, cool, surely this is a pretty legit excuse. And then we pretty much send it that night as well. And then in the morning, 5 a.m., no email, 6 a.m., no email. The test is at 9 a.m. Our friend is back from hospital and she's still sideways. And then 8 a.m., we get this email and it's just like literally one line. And it's like, see you at 9 a.m., guys. And we're like, oh, shit. So we're like scrambling to get everything together. We're like dragging this dead weight, which is our friend, hop on a train back to Manhattan. We get to the test. She like vomits on the test and it was just a disaster.
Oh, how long does it take to get from the Hamptons to Manhattan?
I think like an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, a very unglamorous like train ride, but it was fine. Like we took the test, we all passed and then we went back to the Hamptons after.
Oh, my goodness.
So you had to take that test so hungover.
Yes.
Well, probably still lit, let's be honest.
Literally.
I literally cannot do – I almost feel like you came out better by not knowing that whole night that you were going to still do the test and just kind of had to get thrown into it because
– you still got to enjoy yourself.
I know. Well, we fully thought – we were like, as if HR's – like our friend is legitimately in hospital, surely not. But she was ruthless.
Wow. And like to make you go all the way back to New York to do a test – like it's called Zoom.
I know.
Literally online, baby.
I know.
What's the Hamptons like during 4th of July? Like that's honestly been on my bucket list. I would love to do it.
Crazy. Like, but the lines for the bars are insane. Like I'm pretty sure we lined up like 2 to 3 hours for every place.
Wow.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like so, so much fun.
That I'd like, yeah, that's definitely like, I feel like on our 30 something year old bucket list too. Like I don't feel like I need to be super young to do that. I feel like I could do that now.
Well, I always think of when on Sex and the City, when they all go out to the Hamptons for the 4th of July party and she runs into Mr. Big and she's got the cool cowboy hat outfit on.
Yeah. And like the low rise hipster skirt.
I'm like, oh my God, give it to me in my 30s, please.
Will we ever get back to New York?
I know. Hopefully. Love that place.
Oh,
where did you live in your time there?
We were just, it was called the Kimberley Hotel, like pretty central Manhattan.
Oh, wow. What an experience.
Me and Nikki like, oh, wow.
Did you go on heaps of dates when you lived in New York?
No, I literally got into a relationship like before I left, which was, yeah, the biggest regret, because definitely would have had a funner time had I not been in.
Are you still with that guy?
No, different guy.
Oh, I was going to say, I hope you're not, because you just said that you regret it. Too bad.
Yeah, no, definitely different guy.
Different guy. Well, let's get into some business chat. That's why we're here. So you founded Etoile, which is a really cool, like, I would say makeup storage. You run us through it. You give us a nutshell version.
Yeah, it definitely started as makeup storage, and now we've kind of evolved into just beauty accessories. So the idea is just like anything that you can find in your beauty room to make you have a more enjoyable getting ready process.
Yep.
And the whole thing was kind of founded because I was having a really chaotic, stressful routine. Like my mirror would be like the mirror on my chest of drawers. I'd be on the floor. I had really bad lighting. I'd be running between like my bedroom, my bathroom, my daily handbag. And it was just like shit was everywhere. And it was like, this is so like, it's meant to be the one time of the day where it's just yourself. You're meant to be feeling good. But yeah, I was everything but feeling good.
So then you just thought, hey, I'm going to start making some storage for these bad boys. Talk me, like, I want to know the actual process.
Yeah. So I've always been really interested in business. So like when I was little, I found myself in this place on the internet called Imvu, which is really similar to Sims. Mm-hmm. And it's like an online avatar world. You like create clothing for the avatars. There's like a whole world of, yeah, creating like stuff for these avatars, and you can market your clothes. It turns into Imvu credits, which turns into real life currency. And I found myself obsessed with that platform. And I was like teaching myself Photoshop to make these like clothing templates.
Wow.
And I think I became really passionate about, or like just the whole process, just like creating the stuff, marketing it, and all of that jazz. So from there, yeah, I just like loved the idea of marketing, consumer goods, businesses, and having my own business. I was always kind of on the hunt for one. And then, yeah, when I had that really chaotic experience, I just needed the product for myself to start off with.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was like, why not see if we can, you know, if anyone else wants these products.
That is so cool. So what was, like, when you initially launched, because I know that you've got the, like, the ring light as well that you do. Like, what was the first product off the bat? Or did you have, like, a collection? Like, talk us through.
So it was really basic. It was four organizers, and it was a lipstick holder, a brush holder, a palette holder, and a compact holder. And then I think we also had these like marble kind of display trays.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where it all started.
So is there like one, like from those kind of, I guess, the original range, is there one core product that's just been like your kind of bread and butter product, or is it a real kind of variation?
No, it's really evolved. Like we have over 100 SKUs now.
Wow.
So yeah, we still have those four original SKUs, but they're not really like the bread and butter just because there's so many options at the moment.
So talk us through the range. Like what is the, what are the kind of main key products that you guys sell? And I want to know kind of what is Etoile?
I know. We just got our first makeup organizer from you guys, and I'm like, it weirdly makes me want to be better at makeup because I'm like, damn, I can't have all my makeup looking so fresh and then it not look good on my face.
Oh, I hope you guys like it.
It's like inspiring. I love it.
Yeah, so we've got a range of organizers. So like the basic stuff, and then probably the more like hectic organizers for people who have a lot of makeup. Then we have like the vanity mirrors. We have the kind of vanity furniture. And then the lighting range, and then travel cases. So the full assortment.
Wow. Yeah, when Nikki and I got our new makeup organizers in the mail, we were like, yes. And like we are so bad at doing makeup, right? Like the worst. But we get given so much amazing product from, you know, like amazing beauty brands. And it is interesting, like when you've got everything there, but it's like sitting in your dirty makeup case and there's like, you know, I always end up like with like skew with tampons and dirty makeup wipes and stuff, and not dirty
Let's
tampons.
Let's just clarify, that's not a dirty tampon.
Of course not. Like in the bottom of my makeup bag, and it just doesn't make the makeup, doing your makeup process very fun. Like,
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of where it came from as well. Like, I was obsessed with makeup and I had all this stuff and I'd be like, the whole like discovery process and like going to Mecca or Sephora is all like really exciting and uplifting, and then you go home and then you store it, and then like the post kind of getting ready process of like after you finish your makeup is also really exciting. But then, yeah, that in-between process is just like, ugh, like, you know, stuff gets stuck in drawers or like, you know, you're digging through piles of makeup and it's not very fun. So that also didn't make sense to me, why, like, you know, the whole beauty process is meant to make you feel good, and then in between it's kind of just, yeah, not very glamorous.
Yeah, totally. So how long – so you launched about 5 years ago, and how long did it – like, how did you launch? Like, what was your sort of game plan? Did you go hard with influencer marketing, or talk us through that?
No, so we launched in like the most scrappiest way. Like, it would not fly in today's day and age, because I had no intentions of like building the business. I really didn't think it could be like what it is now, or what I think it could grow into even from here. Literally just like made an Instagram page, made a website, turned it on, launched it to probably no one. And then I think I was just lucky because people really liked seeing Vanity Inspiration, and so they would tag their friends, and then the momentum kind of built from there. But like, I was working a full-time job, so I didn't have like really any time to spend on working on the business. And I remember when our first order came, we didn't even have packaging materials. Like, the order came and we were like, oh my God, what are we going to send this in?
Oh no.
It's going to make me cringe. But we sent it in a microwave box because we just bought a microwave.
To your customer.
No way. Wow.
Oh my God, babe. Your packaging now is like so premium.
That poor customer.
And like, I still know her username on Instagram. I don't know how she didn't like destroy us. But yeah, we were just like, oh yeah, like, you know, we probably need boxes to send stuff to people.
Wow. So you really, really, really had like a soft launch. Like, you didn't create any hype. So
yeah.
Like, when did you first sort of starting to notice a difference in like people being interested in your brand? Like, how long did that take to sort of build?
I think it was really gradual. And like, I didn't do anything to like push the business. Like, it was just kind of there. It was just something that I enjoyed doing.
And were you still working in your job at this point and doing this as kind of like a little side hustle?
Yeah. And so we didn't do any paid marketing, no influencers. It really just built by like word of mouth and like people tagging people being like, love this setup, or like, I need this organizer. Which surprisingly there was like a lot of, and I think, yeah, just people like to see Vanity Inspiration.
Especially I feel like at the moment with that whole, well, it was about 5 years ago, so you'll probably bang on with your timing, but like that whole beauty makeup YouTube scene, it was like totally. All of a sudden you went from having just your bare essentials to do your makeup every day to it being like a real trend to have these huge kits and have, you know, like every time Jeffree Star would bring out a new product, you'd buy it even though you didn't really need to wear 50 different eyeshadows every day. It like became such a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the first kind of like real step change of the business was when we had Jasmine Hand or Makeup by Jazz post a video.
Love her.
And like, we weren't doing amazing. Yeah, I love her as well. We weren't doing like amazing figures at the time, but like overnight from this YouTube video, I think she doubled the business. And I was like,
wow.
Like, oh my God, maybe like, you know, we can kind of grow this. And still we didn't have like any paid influencers. Everything was just like purely on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I left my job in kind of late 2018. So I've been full-time since early 2019.
Wow. Did you have any reservations when you left your full-time job? Because were you working in finance?
In finance, yeah.
Wow.
No, like everyone around me was like, you sure you're doing the right thing? Like, are you, like, do you have a business plan? Like, do you have like a financial model? Are you sure you're not going to go bankrupt in a couple of months? And I think I just had this like inner, very quiet kind of self-confidence voice that was like, this is going to work. Like, you know, all you got to do is do this, is this, and you're going to grow it. And yeah, kind of just ignored everyone around me and took the leap, which was really scary at the time.
Did you actually have any financial plan or anything like that in place? Because I know with me and Nikki, with Jagger and Stone, I mean, I guess because you're from a finance background, you've probably got, you're more kind of savvy with that kind of thing. But we have no experience in that department. And to this day, I actually cannot believe we've been able to manage our cash flow. Like, because I kind of manage our invoices coming in from our suppliers and stuff. Well, manage, just like look at and go, yeah, that looks all right. and I don't know how we still had enough money. So did you have anything like that set in stone to kind of, because I guess people don't realize that before you sell your products online or however you might sell them, you might wholesale them, whatever, you actually have to pay for them first.
Yeah, cash flow is so hard. Definitely still something that we struggle with now. But like you would think I have all my finances, like, you know, everything finance related all together, but I honestly did not. Had no model, kind of just like when we were ordering, it was the biggest like finger in the air approach. It was basically like my mum, who is kind of like our warehouse manager, she would be like, oh, we're running low in stock of this. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I think we need to order about 50. And so I'd put in that order. And it was like we just didn't have our finance stuff together at all.
And so how did you kind of learn over time? Like, was it just through kind of observing how it changes in the business, or did you go and get some kind of mentoring? Like, how did you kind of grow to where you are now? Which I just read a little note here. In 2020, you guys did more than $5 million worth of products, which is huge.
Literally massive.
Like, how did you go from not knowing what you were doing to being like a $5 million business?
I think I had a lot of like intuition when I left finance, and I was like, okay, these are some key things we need to do. And it was like a complete rebrand. So like before that, we were just another black and white brand, which like all our competitors were as well. So we were like, we need to differentiate ourselves, look a bit different, talk a bit differently. So we did that. We did a complete new like website redevelopment, which was quite big for us. We expanded the SKU range. So we did all of that. And then from a finance perspective, I think that's where my boyfriend stepped in and like really did a lot of the heavy lifting. So helped us build like a inventory model, which now, you know, all of our purchase orders are driven off data. So he definitely helped scale, like, or just to make sure that all the finance things were, you know.
What's his number? Can I give him a call? Because I feel like we need a little bit of that in our lives.
I should get him to set up a freelancing business.
Literally.
So talk to us about your company now. Like, how many people have you got working there? What's sort of like your day-to-day like? Like, you obviously do this full-time. Has your partner come on to that as well?
No. So he still works full-time in banking as well. He just helps me around the sides. We're still a really lean team. So we've got one Melbourne warehouse manager, my mum, a Sydney warehouse manager, and then we've got someone in part-time for customer service. And then we had one person in marketing, but she actually left like 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, that's it really. We have a really, really lean team.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, day-to-day is just like everything. I mean, you guys would know. It's like bits and pieces. Like, you get so distracted. You're like, you know, talking to suppliers and then thinking of new products and then doing content and then distributing the content. Yeah, everything.
Literally. It's kind of nice, like, it's pretty crazy that you have such a small team and you're like a $5 million a year business.
Like, I'm kind of looking at those numbers being like, that's awesome. I was trying to think of something to say that I'm like, you know, that's a huge, I guess, essentially you're pocketing a lot of the money. Like,
low overheads, I believe, is what you're going for.
I'm trying to say it in like without, you know, that's amazing. Like, you're keeping your costs so low and bringing in some big dollars.
Yeah, well, we've invested a lot in like, so last year we got a Sydney warehouse, which was a huge investment. And we put a lot of money back into growing the business. So things like, you know, we paid for like this like augmented reality feature on the website, or like same day delivery, which we now offer. And we have a lot of like partners. So like, you know, we have a freelancer that does our SEO, our Facebook marketing, like our tech side. So they're just not our employees, but we have a lot of partnerships.
Yeah. Awesome. Totally. And you yourself, what was like your main role and responsibilities within your own business? Because like, I know as a business owner, sometimes it feels like you've kind of got your finger in every little pie.
Well, it still feels like that, especially with Elena, who sadly had to leave 2 weeks ago, who was so good at content and just creating like viral TikToks, like all that now. I feel like I do a lot of content day to day, and then I guess strategize on like the bigger, hairier kind of stuff that will really drive the business. And talk to suppliers pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really still feel like I've got my finger in like every hole.
Yeah. Every hole, every pie.
Why does that sound so dirty, babe? I've got my finger in every hole.
Poor Michelle.
Michelle's there like, ew.
Talk to us about some of like the, you know, some of the biggest lessons that you've had along the way. I love hearing other people's kind of like learnings in their own business journey.
Yeah.
Definitely like inventory ordering. I reckon for like a product business, that's like the hardest thing to get right. And for so long, we just like stuffed it up. We'd have like so much of one thing and then like be sold out of another for like months. So yeah, doing this like inventory model thing that we have now was a game changer. And then getting pre-orders right. Like the pre-order model is fantastic, but like if you stuff up the pre-order system, then like you kind of lose customers for life. And I think we had a period of time where we had a few products on pre-order, and then we kind of got hit by the perfect storm of like every single delay imaginable, and had a lot of lessons from that. So, you know, now we will never have pre-orders where the customer has to wait like over 4 weeks. And yeah, pre-orders were definitely a lesson learned there.
Yeah, I'm actually interested to talk to you about this a little bit, because we in the fashion industry, we very rarely do pre-orders unless there is a really solid reason. But again, we would never put anything live unless I knew that it was like on the plane, on the way over kind of thing. Mm. Like I wouldn't be like, oh, you know, it hasn't even started production yet, but we'll just put it through.
Mm.
So like what, like why like would
what,
you put?
Yeah, what benefits do you see from doing that?
So after we had like a few hiccups, we were like, heck, we're never doing pre-orders, not worth it. But then we had some customers who just like were dying to pre-order stuff, pretty much, you know, like send it to me when it's ready. And it was, you know, balancing what they wanted and then us being confident that we could deliver on that pre-order model. Mm. But yeah, the model itself is great because it obviously is really good for cash flow, and you also get data on like how much product you're selling.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think once, like we didn't have the product on pre-order, I think we ordered maybe like 400 and then it landed, put it on sale, and then it kind of, and we didn't order any more after that. And then it kind of sold out within a week, and we were like, shit, we're going to be sold out again. So like, as long as stuff is on pre-order, we kind of know the volumes that are selling, and maybe we can put in another order before that order even ships.
Yeah. Totally. I think pre-order works, especially with a product like yours, because there's no sense of urgency. It's not like I need to organize my makeup now. Whereas like four with us, it's like I'm buying that because I want to wear it this weekend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it really depends on the product you're selling.
Totally. And I think like people, you know, it's not, yours is literally like a one size fits all product. You know, if you want it, that you know, like you get what you're given. Whereas like I guess with us, it's kind of like, you know, girls want to try things on, or, you know, they might need to return it, or it's like a lot more high risk, I guess.
Mm.
However, we're actually putting something on pre-order this week. So
I know. So, you know.
How's that for timing?
No, we're not putting it on until I get it on that plane is what we're doing. So I want to actually ask you a very industry related question, which I feel like anyone that's playing at home who works within the product industry, like online sales and whatnot, will be able to relate to. But are you finding shipping from China at the moment just like astronomically expensive?
Oh my God, so expensive. Like
it's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, so I think it's like maybe doubled in the last year.
Oh,
like so, so crazy. But the other day we were getting quotes to get containers sent to the US. So I think it cost us about $6,000 or $7,000 for like a 40-foot container to Australia. It costs $17,000 to the US.
Whoa.
Like, literally mind-blowing. Like, I don't know how the businesses there are surviving, but, yeah, freight is so expensive.
And are you sending freight to the US to go to like a 3PL warehouse in the States?
Yeah, so we're looking at launching in the States later this year.
Amazing.
So
babe,
for those of you playing at home, just to explain it to everyone in layman's terms, so that would essentially mean that you guys are going to have the same kind of website, same brand, over in the US, but you will have it shipped and distributed from a warehouse there so that they're getting the same kind of benefits as your Australian customers. So the, you know, like next day delivery and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. So 3PL, we get it sent to, yeah, basically someone else is running the warehouse, whereas in Melbourne and Sydney, you know, we pay rent on the warehouse. It's our own staff running the show and everything. But yeah, over there we're gonna get a 3PL.
Can I ask why you, because, you know, shipping in Australia is fairly universal in terms of like Melbourne to Sydney's overnight. Why did you set up a second Sydney warehouse? Was there a reason for that?
Purely for convenience for our customers. So we have always said, like, one of the biggest things that we struggle with in our business is that because the goods are quite like homogenous, like, you know, you can find similar organizers from, say, Kmart. They could be smaller, they could be made of different materials, but it's not like we have any like IP or, you know, in a fashion sense, like designs for our stuff. We always said that we're going to differentiate on like convenience, yeah, and deliver customers like a fantastic experience. So we purely launched a Sydney warehouse for same day delivery. So now, wow, if you order before like 2 p.m., you can get it that same day. And then we also have our own warehouses because we offer like the monogramming service, which you can't, yeah, do, true, in a 3PL.
Yep.
And we also found that because we have like, you know, mirrors and tables that are like 2 meters long, they're like 30 kilograms. Like, I don't think 3PLs can handle those kind of goods. So you're a bit restricted as well.
So I feel like that's a really interesting thing to talk about, what you were saying before. Just basically when you were designing your business model and kind of going about, I just find this whole kind of thing really interesting for anyone that's looking to start a product or a brand or in whatever industry. I love that you kind of, your strength and the thing that you really wanted to hone in on was, you know, I guess that customer experience and getting same day delivery. Like for Jagger and Stone, for example, I guess the thing that we focus on is like our designs, you know, we want it to be like something really cool and a bit different and whatever. So that's kind of the point of difference for our business.
Yeah.
But for you, obviously we try and tick every box, but you know, that would be our main point of difference. But for you, you're kind of like, oh, well, our product's not, like, lack of a better word, like the most crazy exciting thing on earth. So what we're going to hone in on is maybe, you know, the customer experience and making sure, or you know how every business just has something that they really make as their own?
Totally.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And that's exactly it. Like, we looked at our products and we were like, okay, fine, we can make our product great and we can make it with like the best materials and we can make it with, you know, have like the brightest mirror or have like, you know, really good materials. But when you look at a mirror, people aren't going to be like, they're not that attracted to, I guess, those features, which is really difficult for us.
It's not like, wow, I just got the coolest black makeup bag. Woo!
Unless it's monogram.
I wish people were like that.
Do you know what I mean though? Like, it's not like you can do like a viral video campaign with a makeup bag.
Yeah. So true.
Exactly. So yeah, we were like, all right, we're going to invest heavily into like supply chain, into like the website. So we've got like, you know, all these icons on the website that help people shop to help them identify like what mirror has what feature. And then we have like, you know, shop quizzes that help people with organizers. And really, like, that's probably why our team is so lean, because we've put all our money into like the website and kind of like the back end of the business.
And that is not cheap either, website development.
No. I wish it was cheaper.
Literally.
I love that though. I love talking to different people about kind of how they,
yeah, where their strengths are, where, in the business.
And how they want to make something different. And there's just like, you could sell like a cleaning product and you could make customer service the standout, you know, feature of your business, and that could be your real strength and it would be your point of difference. Like, there's just kind of really no limit to what you can and can't do.
Totally. Ah, love it. Well, talk to us about some of your biggest accomplishments along the way. So you spoke about Jazz Hand earlier, which I just love hearing stories like this. Like, have you ever found that, like, you know, there's been like something else that you've done that's just worked really well, like in terms of, you know, working with other influencers or like YouTube hauls or?
Influencers are a hard one for us. We don't go like wild for it because most people will want like a mirror or a table. And they can create a lot of content for it, but like no one buys a $600 mirror just like that after seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, so true.
It's really hard. for us to, yeah, work with influencers for those big ticket items. We had a live, this is probably like a personal accomplishment just because I used to hate public speaking, but a live TV interview on Studio 10, which was huge last year.
That's epic.
Yeah.
And what, how did it go? Were you nervous?
I was so, so nervous. But yeah, like we saw like thousands of people on the website immediately after, which is like more traffic than we ever had, which is amazing.
That's cool.
That's like really cool.
Yeah, it's like traditional media. What about digital marketing? Do you guys put a lot of money and energy into that as well?
Yeah, so we switched that on in like 2019, I think. Definitely drives so much like of the sales and also the traffic. But with that being said, like I hear so many people saying that you have to pay to play these days and there's like no organic reach and, you know, Facebook doesn't distribute organic content anymore. But like I strongly disagree with that, and I think you can still get so much brand awareness off organic Instagram and like TikTok.
Totally.
And like in a couple of viral videos, like somehow we've almost got 100K on TikTok, and it's like you can definitely, you know, still go viral on those platforms. You just have to create good content.
Do you find that TikTok has been a huge new platform for you guys in terms of like, do you kind of invest more time and energy into TikTok now than Instagram?
We probably invest like just under maybe it's like 60-40.
Okay.
TikTok is great though. It's just every single time we have a video that does well, it does well in the States, and we can't send like our mirrors or tables over there. So it's just a shame that we get all this traffic, but then we can't convert those people just because we can't ship stuff over there.
Yes, so true.
Whereas Instagram, the content goes to the people that's following you, and we have a large Australian following.
Yeah. And so that makes sense too, that you would want to set up a 3PL over in the States. Like that kind of makes total sense, especially if you can't ship your large tables and stuff. So would you say your larger products, which are the kind of tables and like makeup mirrors and stuff like that, are your bigger, like highest selling products or?
In terms of percentage, it's actually equal between like the organizers, the cases and the mirrors as well. Cases definitely went down during COVID. No one was traveling. But yeah, I would say on average, it's probably a split between those three categories.
Yeah. And I want to know, like, so obviously now to kind of get into this business where your main thing that you're focusing on is essentially makeup organization. Are you a super organized person? You must be.
I want to see your house.
I'm honestly not really at all. I'm not, yeah, I'd say I'm organized, not super organized.
Like what was the, you know, why all of a sudden one day were you like, this is where I'm really passionate about making sure my makeup's really organized?
I think before that it was just in shambles. And so I obviously wanted to look good. And yeah, my makeup is organized now, but I wouldn't classify myself as a hectically organized person.
Give us some tips on how a girl should organize her makeup, because honestly, I have everything that I use every day in like one little toiletry bag and like that's it.
Yeah, me too. And so we have the same toiletry bag.
Literally. Like talk to us.
Is it a 12?
It isn't a 12.
No, we just got them though, so I'm so excited to actually use that to like display everything nicely.
I love it. I would say like optimize your organization system based on like who you know you are. Like if you are not a really organized person, then don't go for like the really intricate organization system where every single palette has its own home, because you're just never going to be able to keep that organized. Like if you are a bit fast and loose and you're always like, you know, in a rush, then go for like broader organization buckets and like either keep that organized or throw everything in there. That way it still kind of looks organized because you've got like, you know, containers. And then, yeah, I would say have like all of your kind of go-to items in an organizer. And then like I think you should organize based on what you use the most to like what you use the least. That way when you're getting ready, you're just messing up kind of one organizer as opposed to like all your stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like that's what I need.
That makes sense.
What's next for Etoile? Like have you ever thought about trying to wholesale the brand into, you know, Sephora or Mecca or something like that? Or do you just want to stick strictly to like an online business model? Or what's your next big thing?
It's funny you say that. We actually never intended on going down the wholesale route. And then probably a month ago, this really exciting email landed in my inbox. So we're currently speaking to someone. I don't know if it's going to eventuate into anything, but so we've got that on the cards, and then the US expansion.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. Oh, it's so exciting. What are some tips that you'd give to young women who are, like, you know, wanting to start their side hustle?
Oh, I would say take a look at, like, the problems or stuff that makes you irk in your day-to-day life, and usually really good ideas are born out of those scenarios. If you've got an idea but you're struggling to get started, get onto, like, the business niche on TikTok, because if you're lacking inspiration, you're going to be inspired. And if you're lacking or, like, don't know how to get started, there is so much good educational content on that platform.
Oh, I love that.
What's it called? Sorry.
I think it's just, like, hashtag business on TikTok.
Wow. There you go.
I'm getting amongst this.
We are so new to TikTok. Mm. So, like, that's why we're literally acting like
you're so teaching surprised. Us right now. I'm literally going into TikTok right now just to even look at that.
It's so good. I have a friend, her username on TikTok is Sell Anything Online, and she just has the best marketing tips. Absolute wizard.
Sell Anything Online.
Yeah. Shout out to her, Anita.
So what kind of marketing tips does she have? I need to know.
Just, like, you know, stuff on your website to increase conversion rate, like Google Analytics, like Facebook videos, like the content you need to create.
Wow.
You know, how to improve your marketing emails. She's so good.
That's epic. Do you find it hard? Because something that I think we, you know, have struggled with since we've started our business, and I always find it interesting talking to other people about it, is, like, upscaling. So, like, just learning, you know, oh, if I want to sell product in the US, how do I do that? Like, you know, because you are your own boss. Like, you don't have someone to go to for instructions. Like, have you found that difficult? And, like, and what have you done in order to kind of essentially broaden your knowledge and kind of get that information that you need?
Business podcasts. I listen to a lot of, like, business content. Mm-hmm. It's hard when, like, you know you want to do something but you're stuck because you literally have no one to ask. And, like, we've been in that scenario before. Like, before we had our warehouse management system, we had a very, very manual process and it just wasn't working for us. And I was like, I just don't know what the answer is though. Like, where to go from here? Like, I didn't even know what a warehouse management system was. And to that, I would say, like, I think one thing that I've done well in the 12 journey is, like, unashamedly reach out to people on LinkedIn.
Mm. Ah.
Yeah, like, I found I think he was the head of the warehouse manager at Shopo, DM'd him on LinkedIn, basically gave him a bit of a spiel of a 12 and then said, can I, like, pay you for some consulting hours? And he eventually helped us launch our entire Sydney warehouse because that was obviously during COVID, so I couldn't go out there. But, yeah, really use LinkedIn and just, like, you know, have no shame when reaching out to people and asking for help.
I love that tip. Yeah, I feel like amazing. That's, yeah.
Because it's so accessible for everyone to kind of use that as, some, like, their own tip themselves. So that is a really good one.
Mm.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten in your business career so far?
Mm. I reckon someone's probably told me this before, but I live by the saying, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't shoot, or if you never ask, you'll never get. Yeah, I think that's kind of driven a lot of the big decisions that I've made in a 12, like leaving my full-time work, investing in, like, the Sydney warehouse, and then now with the US. I think it's just, like, I don't want to know what if. Like, I rather do it, fail or succeed, and then figure it out from there, but I just don't want to leave something on the table.
Well, that in mind, have you ever had anything that's gone, like, you know, have you ever ordered thousands of units of a product and then it's just completely bombed and you haven't been able to sell through it?
Yes, it's so funny. These, like, small travel cases that we ordered so much of before COVID, like, this was when I had the kind of finger in the air approach and I was like, yes, let's order thousands. And then COVID hit and no one was traveling and we just got left with so much stock of these travel cases. Yeah, it's quite funny, but yeah.
So what have you done with them?
Well, we've just slowly, like, sold them. Obviously now with travel, like, that sale, like, the volume has picked up again,
yep,
which is great. Yeah, we're kind of getting to the end of that purchase order now.
Oh, wow. That's crazy though. Yeah, we always are like, if that ever happens, and it, to be fair, it doesn't happen often, but, like, if it does happen, it's always like, fuck, what are we going to do with like hundreds of pairs of these weird pants? Like, I'm not too sure what we should do.
And we always say you can only, you know, really push it so many times, then you're like pity marketing it.
Mm.
Yeah. Free with purchase.
Yeah,
literally,
like,
get rid of it.
All you can do is like do like a sale, and then if it doesn't sell in the sale, it's like gift with purchase, and then it's like gets to the point where we'll pay you to take these pants. Oh, so good.
That's awesome.
Well, before we finish up today, what is next for Etoile?
The US. So my partner and I are actually in the middle of trying to relocate to New York. I think I just want to be
go off.
Yeah, I want to be on the ground when we launch the US. And I feel like they're so much ahead of Australia in terms of like e-commerce. So really want to take those learnings back to Australia. He really wants to do the whole finance in New York thing. So yeah, hopefully end of the year we'll be in New York.
Wow, that is a huge vibe.
That is very, very, very exciting. And then you can finally use your little travel case to go over there.
I'm just thinking of your luggage. You must have the cleanest, most tidy luggage.
No, I probably don't.
Would you ever go into like full travel accessories, like not just beauty? Would you ever go into like undies holders and I don't know what else?
I always find like people with camera equipment, those little bags that they use are incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because like the stuff for makeup artists, I definitely draw inspiration from the camera bag industry. Like my dad is a huge camera fanatic and I take a look at all of his bags and I'm like, that's what makeup artists need. Like, because everything is like in its own compartment.
Totally. Separated but clear.
I love it. Well, babe, that's all we've got time for today. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your business journey. I think that's so interesting to you know, hear about business that's, you know, so different to anything we do.
We love it.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to see you both at the live show.
Oh, we can't wait. Oh, babe, I think I told you off air what I'm planning on doing before then and I'm shitting myself, so go off.
Where can everyone find you as well before we wrap it up?
So we can be found at Etoile Collective on Instagram and on TikTok and then etoilecollective.com.au. Etoile spelt E-T-O-I-L-E.
Treat yourself, baby. Oh, thank you so much, Michelle.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much, Michelle, for coming and joining us today, you little legend.
Literally. So if you guys need to get your makeup organized, you know how to do it now. Treat yourselves.
Treat yourself to some little organization. I'm telling you right now, being someone that's recently getting their shit together at the ripe old age of 31, having your makeup in a really beautiful case makes a difference.
Big time. When I saw your makeup brushes drying out in the sun the other day, I was like, oh,
I knew that
she's using her Etoile. Yeah.
And it's funny, we both went, Nick goes to me like moments after that, she goes, fuck babe, I need new makeup brushes. I'm like, me too.
Oh my God. Literally, I cannot wait to get new makeup brushes. Mine, I have to like kind of tweeze it at the moment because it is molting all over my face. It's the worst.
Let's go and buy some straight after
this. Let's do it. Oh, anyway. Look at us, we're all inspired dolls.
Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in and make sure you share the app to your stories if you enjoyed this today. And
please do.
Have a good day.
This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Stay up to date with us. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram at we_the_wild_ones. Cheers, babes.